Okay, I'll start out by reading chapters morning, chapter 17 of Proverbs, starting the first verse. And again, this is just a progression in the map and the roadmap on how to live our lives in the will of God. First verse, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the hearts. A wicked doer gives heed to false lips, but a liar gives ear to a naughty tongue. Whoso mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamity shall not be unpunished. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that has it. Whithersoever it turns, it prospers. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. A reproof enters more into the wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, and therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Whoso rewards evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one lets out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. He that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man void of understanding strikes hands and becomes a surety in the presence of his friend. He loves transgression that seeks strife, and he that exalts his gate seeks destruction. He that has a froward heart finds no good, and he that has a perverse tongue falls into mischief. He that begets a fool does it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A wicked man takes a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Wisdom is before him that has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Also, to punish the just is not good, nor to strike princes for equity. He that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Okay, let's go back and see what we have to say in all this now. What's the Spirit trying to teach us today? Better is a dry morsel, or literally a piece of bread. Better is a piece of bread and quietness within. It's saying not that the dry morsel and quietness therewith, but it's better to have a little piece of bread and peace within yourself. It's better not to have the riches if I can have peace within. Because riches will never bring you peace. They'll only bring you temporary law in the war. Than a house full of sacrifices with strife. See, so you got all this stuff that's been offered in sacrifice, all the gold and all the silver and all this fine food, but if you have no peace within, what good is it?
Nothing.
It's nothing. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Now let's say that again. A wise servant, that's someone who's obedient, wouldn't you say? An obedient servant shall have rule, or cross out the word have because it's not there, shall rule over a son that causes shame. And what do you think causing shame is?
Is it disappointment?
Disobedience. If the one is obedient, the other one is disobedient over a disobedient one. And shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. What's the brethren?
Obedient.
The what? The obedient or the first fruit?
Yeah.
Same as the first fruit. So if you're obedient, if God has a million things for me to do, and I don't get 900,999,999999 down the line, and I don't get that last thing done, and God has one thing for you to do to accomplish, and you get it done, you got a better reward than I got. Just do whatever God's got you to do. Don't worry about how much it is, just be obedient. Okay? Verse 3, refining. Now, why would I say refining versus fining?
It's already been done.
Well, it's already been done once, see, but we messed it up, and now God's got to do it again. And to refine it means it's been done once, and we've got to be straightened up again. The refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tries the what? The minds, the thought processes. See, He weighs the thoughts and intent of your mind, not your heart. Okay?
So the refining is just the journey. Right?
It's the journey that brings things to the surface. That's the refining of your thinking process. And see, everybody tries to use this world. They got a good heart. Well, yeah, if it's pumping blood, it's a good heart. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the mind. See, so we need to watch our words the way we say it. Let's don't use those religious words that the Bible has placed within us by the interpreters, but let's use what God really is intending. He's weighing the thoughts of our mind.
He's reordering
our thinking process
into His thinking.
Absolutely. He said mind, they put heart.
So it's a process of putting on the mind of Christ is what He's doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a process. Okay. Verse 4, a wicked doer listens to wicked lips, and a liar listens to what? To a perverse tongue. So wicked people want to hear what?
They want to hear lies.
They want to hear lies. People like to be lied to better than they do to hear the truth. You tell them the truth, it makes them mad. You lie to them and they're happy because they like lies. Okay? And they say, well, that's the way the world is. No, I'm talking that's the way most of the church is. They like it that way. It's humanity, right. But I mean, the church world likes it more than anybody else. They just love it that way. You can talk to people in the street and they say, yeah, you're probably right. Don't make any difference to me. But the church world, they love to be lied to. Okay, verse 5. Whosoever mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamities, and that word calamities literally means oppression or misfortune. So he that is glad at oppression or misfortune shall not be unpunished. And that word unpunished wasn't correct. It should be, he will not be held innocent. Okay? He will not be considered innocent. Children's children. Who is that?
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren are the crown of old men. And the glory of children is their fathers. See? Children look at their fathers as the best guy in the world. And they're supposed to do that. That's the way it should be. Excellent speech becomes not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Really good speech comes not from a fool because he don't even know what he's talking about, does he? And much less do lying lips fit a prince. So someone that's in a position of authority, and we'd say prince is a leadership, someone in leadership should not be lying. You know, and like the story I shared about the preacher told me he lied. Well, that makes him a lying preacher. Well, come on, there's something wrong with this picture. How can you say you're a man of God and say I'm a liar? You know, you got to change something in your thinking process, but he doesn't even understand. That's okay. God will deal with all of it. He's already got it taken care of. Verse 8, a gift or a bribe is a precious stone in the eyes of its owner. Okay, it should say its owner. So that bribe, you know why he says it's precious in the eyes of its owner? The one who got the bribe felt it was worth something, or they wouldn't have compromised themselves someplace for that bribe, would they? You know what I'm talking about? See, like Bernie Madoff thought that money he was scamming everybody out of was worth more than his reputation. Where's he at now?
No money and no reputation
in prison. See, so but they value something highly, much more some natural object than their self.
Well, that goes back to verse 1.
Sure it does. It's better to be poor with just a piece of bread, just enough to sustain your life, than to have all the riches and have what goes along with it. No peace. Whithersoever it appears, it has success. You know why? Because we're dealing with humanity. And humanity in its unregenerated form is always going to be one that succumbs to the temptations of bribery, aren't they? And to compromise.
Well, they see a man or someone with a lot of...
And they envy that person.
...possessions, and yeah. They think that man is prosperous.
They think he's a great guy because of having that money.
Mm-hmm.
Outward appearance does not... It doesn't mean...
Yeah. Later on, probably we'll get to it later, but it says not to be envious of the rich. Don't be envious of the rich. If you got an appetite for real dainty foods, put a knife to your throat. You're better off to tell yourself, cut my throat, than to eat those dainties of deceit, of deception.
Wouldn't that be about the same as the outside, they polish up the outside of the cup, and inside it's full of all kinds of abominations?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Disgusting.
For all kinds of abominations, yep.
People have just lost what's really...
They've lost their moral standard.
What really is rich.
Yeah.
You know, you could have just enough in the bank to get you by, but you have a wonderful family and just you're happy.
They don't see the wealth in that.
And you're a millionaire.
Or trillionaire, whatever, you know. Yeah. There's no value you can put on it to have that peace in your life. Okay, verse 9. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates good friends. Basically what it says, okay? So, when people always carry in tales, have you heard? Did you hear about so-and-so? I mean, all they're trying to do is stir things up. Gossipers, slanderers. Verse 10, a reproof enters more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a stupid person. Now, what's it saying? A wise person, if he's wise, he will hear a rebuke, won't he? Say, if someone corrects you, you say, and especially if it's done in the right attitude, if in the right spirit about the way you handle something, you could be abrasive with it or you could be smooth with it, either way, but the smooth one's going to get somebody's attention. If you're real abrasive to somebody and rude, that'll shut you off and won't hear you. But if you want someone to really hear what you're saying, you've got to be a little bit smooth about it and give them the truth and show them there's an alternative way of what they're doing that would probably be better for them. And then they got to make the choice. You can't force the issue, but you can show them. Okay?
A lot of times you can, if you become a friend, you have more liberty to...
Share with them.
Share with them.
Absolutely. If you make them your friend, then you can be have a relationship, then you can share. Right. They will accept a whole lot easier. Verse 11 goes on to say, an evil man seeks only rebellion. There's a lot of that. We don't need to touch that, and everybody should understand that one. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. Now, there's some things there that need to be changed around a little bit. Therefore, a cruel malach. That word messenger is malach. What's the word in Hebrew, malach? It's what everybody wants to say is angel, but messenger. Literally says messenger. King James says it means angel. Okay?
M-A-L-A-K.
M-A-L-A-K. It's number 4397 in the Greek dictionary, Strong's Dictionary. But it's not literally angel. But a messenger. A cruel messenger shall be sent not against him, but to him. Mm-hmm. Should be sent to him. And that's what's going on, isn't it?
The rebellion.
Stop the rebellion. There it is.
That's a good one.
Yep. Verse 12. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool or a stupid man in his foolishness. So he's saying it'd be better to meet a bear that someone stole her cubs and she's just furious and going to rip you to shreds in the natural rather than to meet a stupid man in his foolishness, because he's going to lead you astray and mess up your entire life. So it'd be better just to go ahead and die than to live through that foolishness, wouldn't it? And all the trouble you're going to get into with that fool that you met. Verse 12, whoso rewards evil for good or returns evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. That tells me something like Galatians 6. God is not mocked, man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows the spirit, he'll reap the life of the ages. Just reaping and sowing, isn't it? Verse 14 goes right on in line with this verse 13. The beginning of strife is when one lets out water. Now, the beginning of strife is the same way as when someone dumps out water. When you first pour out the water, it's not real bad yet, just when it just begins. But just very shortly thereafter, what happens? It's a big flash, you know, a big flash flood. So he says, therefore, leave, or literally forsake or abandon contention before it breaks out. Not be meddled with, but breaks out. Before the contention breaks out, best thing to do is cut it off early. Right? Nip it in the bud, an old saying. You ever heard that one? Yeah. Nip it in the bud. See? Don't let it take hold. It's kind of like kill them Babylonian babies. Same principle. While they're little. Takes the little ones and dashes their heads against the stones. So you get them little Babylonian thoughts out of your head. Get them early. The quicker, the better. The longer they hang around, the more they've dug in. Verse 15. He that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, they both are disgusting to the Lord. Not abominable, but disgusting. That's what the language literally says. Disgusting. Verse 16. Wherefore, or why, is what it should say. Why is there a price in the hand of a stupid person to purchase wisdom? He said, why would it be there? Is there any reason for it to be there? Question, is there a reason for that price to purchase it to be in their hand?
No, they won't know what to do with it.
They wouldn't use it anyway, correctly, would they? Mm-hmm. They'd probably buy drugs or something. Anyway, what it's saying literally is, why is it there? There's no reason to be there, so guess what? God's not going to put it there. You know what that tells me? He's not even going to give them the ability to come to wisdom, is he? If they're a fool, if they're a stupid person, he said, I'm not even going to give them, is what he said. I'm not even going to give them the price. They're not going to have it in their hands, the ability to get the wisdom. We can't be mad with them, can we? God won't permit them because they're foolish in what they're doing. Seeing they have no what? They don't have the mind for it. See, their mind has not the capacity to receive what God has. Now, we know that two things can't occupy the same space at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And didn't Ezekiel say, he said, I'm going to take out your old heart and give you a new one?
Yep.
He didn't say, I'm going to stuff a new one in there with the one you already got, did he? And we know heart is mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to stuff it in and have a double-minded man, are we? Knowing that it's unstable in all of his thinking process, right? See? So he's going to take one out and put another one in. And so if they don't have the mind to receive it, they don't have an open receiving mind, God's not going to waste the time with them. Correct? Not now. It's not now. Okay. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And that's not exactly right, because that little word for doesn't mean for. It literally means a brother is born to share adversity. How about that? Make more sense? When you're in adversity, what do you need? You need friends. You see, friends are made to share that adversity. That comes right out of the Concordant version, one of the few versions that have it correct.
To help you with that burden.
That's right.
Help bear that burden.
Help you bear the burden.
What's the confess your faults once and then?
That you may be healed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have a friend to confess it to.
Absolutely. So
it goes along with communion.
Sure, the common relationship, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Verse 18, a man void of understanding. Now we're talking about this stupid man, this one with no thinking process, right? Strikes hands and becomes a surety in the presence of his friend. He guarantees somebody, stand up for somebody that owes money, and you know, you're going to get in trouble doing that, right? If he's void of understanding, why, and becomes a guarantee for somebody, tells me he's going to be paying somebody else's bills, don't it? He's going to co-sign for something he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 19. He who, it should be he, but he who loves transgression loves strife. And there's a lot of people that thrive on turmoil, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
drama, 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 drama in their lives. That's constantly. No matter what goes on, they've got to have the drama. Yeah, they complain about it, but if you take it away, they're lonely without it.
Drama queen.
Yep, drama queens and kings.
Yeah. Drama queen, they're real going from the soulish side, no matter if they're male or female.
Makes no difference. And he that exalts his gate seeks destruction. If you exalt himself, and so the word we really should be using here is pride, isn't it? Prideful people is going to do nothing but find their own destruction, are they? Pride goeth before a fall, and pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty heart before a fall.
What's gate right there? What's that? Do you not have anything
more? No.
His lifestyle?
It would be his, well, exalts his gate. His gate is his own appearance or reputation, is what it's pointing at. Mm-hmm. You know, he's exalting himself.
Or his own way of thinking,
right? Right. He's exalting himself. That's pride. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I don't know, you're not looking at that word, are you?
Mm-hmm, but I can.
Okay.
Maybe it's ego.
Well, if you take the context of what he's speaking in, he's talking about the pride. He's exalting himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the context of it. Sometimes the translation of these words, you know, they can lose a whole lot.
They didn't go into a whole lot. They just said an opening, a doorway,
yep,
or an entrance. They didn't.
Yep. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let the Spirit do that one.
Yep. Verse 20, it says, he that has a froward, that word froward means perverse. Most all the time you see that word froward, it means perverse. And I don't know why they don't put it in there, but they do. That's King James, English language. Has a perverse what?
Mind.
Not heart, but mind. Finds no good. If a person has a perverse mind, what do you think they'll find? Perverseness. They're looking for it. See, that's what they're acclimated to see. They're looking for all that negativity in their life.
Well, and I would think that on that verse 19 then, his gate would be his thoughts.
Absolutely, self, his own thinking.
Well,
that's what Lloyd said, that same thing.
Thoughts.
Yep. Yep.
But saying this,
yeah.
No good. They're always looking for the negative side.
Always on the negative.
Oh, I'm doing pretty good for Monday.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Always negative.
Yeah.
And he that has a perverse tongue falls into evil. You know, if your tongue's perverse, you're always going to be saying things. You're going to get yourself into trouble all the time. He that begets a stupid child does it to his sorrow, or literally depression or grief. When someone has a stupid child, I mean someone that's just constantly in trouble all the time, what do you think they have except grief and depression? They're always depressed and they're always grieved because of what the child is doing.
Seed produces like kind.
Yep. And the father of a stupid child has no joy. There's nothing to be happy about, is there? When you're visiting him in a maximum security prison. Okay. A merry mind, not heart, but a merry mind makes well like a medicine. Not does good, but makes well. Like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Now, what does that really mean? A broken spirit dries the bones.
You give up and you die.
Well, a broken spirit means you don't have, like I say, you've give up, but it dries the bones. What are bones to our body? It's your superstructure. It's the strongest part of your body. If your bones don't hold it, your muscles can't do much.
Mm-hmm.
If you took all your bones out, you wouldn't have much control, would you? So it's this, it's like the steel girding in a building, you know, hold the structure up. And that's what the bones is. It's our real foundation of our body. Okay, a wicked man takes a bribe out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. A wicked man takes or gives a bribe to pervert judgment. You know why? He knows it works. Because humanity is perverse. Wisdom is in the presence of him that has understanding. See, when you possess understanding, wisdom is right there. If you can understand, wisdom's coming. Okay? It's a process, but when you have, see, it says, wisdom is in the presence of him that possesses understanding. has or possesses understanding. But the eyes of the stupid are on the end of the earth. You get that one? Their eyes are on the end. Everybody's looking for the end. See, they're looking for something they shouldn't be looking. They should be paying attention to the journey, not the destination.
Be in the now, not in the...
They're worried about a rapture. They're worried about the world coming to an end. That's not what it's about. We know it's going to end. The thing is, my world's going to end when I die. Right? So what I got to do is, I got to enjoy this journey and absorb all the knowledge and understanding and wisdom that I can absorb and experience I can get in this lifetime. That's what this journey is all about.
The natural is dying, the spiritual is right. Living.
The outer man dies daily, but the inner man's being renewed. Isn't that what Paul said?
Yep.
Okay. A stupid son is a grief to his father. Isn't that what verse 21 said? Same thing. He's come back and he thought that was important enough to say again. At the time, he was the stupid son, yeah. A stupid son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him.
Yep.
Also, to punish or to fine the just is not good, nor to strike the noble ones for equity. And the Living Bible, where did it go? Right here. Let me read that out of the Living Bible. I think it says it pretty good. Verse 26. How short-sighted to fine the godly for being good and to punish nobles for being honest. That's the real gist of it right there. See? Let me read it again. Verse 26. How short-sighted to fine the godly for being good and to punish nobles for being honest. But they do, don't they? If you're honest and in a position, they'll remove you from the position for exposing the truth.
Yeah.
Rather hide it. Okay? Verse 27, he that has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a not excellent but a calm spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There was a man made a comment about me yesterday to my wife. What did he say? They try to irritate me.
Tries to get a rise out of him, and he can't get a rise out of him.
Been trying for years and can't do it, you know, because I've made a choice in my life to not let someone take my peace from me. I like my peace. It's a gift from my father and I love it, you know, and I'm not giving it up for anybody because it can be shared with you, but you can't take it from me.
Well, he made the comment that he tries to get a rise out of you, but he respects you for not getting a rise out of you, but he likes to do it just to
try.
Aggravate you.
He tries to aggravate me, but he can't. I laugh at him because it's futile what he's trying to do. You know, there's several of them that try, and I just smile at him and go on.
It's like King David.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let it go. Who cares?
Who's apple? The guy's eye.
Yep. And are we not? Mm-hmm. And we have to see ourselves that way. If I don't see myself in the position of God's son, then who else is? If I don't see myself, would I ever live that life?
No, because your stepbrothers won't tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely they won't. I mean, you have to live that life, whether people, you know, you're not going to be popular, and it's okay. You're going to do what God wants you to do, and it doesn't make any difference what anybody else does. They do what God wants them to do.
Just like Joseph, they threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery.
Yeah.
Still got where God...
And then throw him in prison on top of that.
Yep.
And they can't stop what God's goal is in your life. It's impossible to stop, but you have to do what God wants you to do.
You can't fail.
It's impossible to fail.
All that stuff that happened in Joseph's life, and he could have easily, and Carmel looked at that as failing.
What did Joseph say when they came back to Egypt to get the grain? He said,
"You meant for evil, God
meant for good." It was the very thing to shape and perform and promote him into the position he wanted him in.
Okay? Absolutely.
And all the things he did right when he got accused falsely in Potiphar's house, Potiphar saw that when how good he was in prison and in his house and got promoted to running his house. They threw him back in prison again because someone lied on him, but he still never jeopardized or compromised his character, and it still got to the king, and the king brought him up and saw the character in him and set him up as number two in the land. And isn't that what God's trying to do with us? He's not trying to do, it's what he's doing with us.
It's all a test, and the test is to show you what you know, what's in you.
To bring it out.
Yeah. To reveal who, what your true identity is, not to tell you what you don't know.
Right. Absolutely. Verse 28, he says, even a fool, when he is silent, is counted wise. See, not when he holds his peace, but when he is silent. Because a fool doesn't have any peace anyway. Actually, the word says silent. So even a fool, when he is silent, is counted or esteemed to be wise. And he that shuts his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, when, because most foolish people just blow off. They just blow and they don't have a clue what they're talking about. And you know immediately when they begin to speak, they don't know what they're talking about. But it's okay, because they don't know the difference. So no matter what anybody else does, we are learning in our lives, we're progressing in our lives, and getting closer and closer to that perfection that God has called us to. It doesn't make any difference what somebody thinks about me. It's none of my business anyway, is it? And I will be okay, and you will be okay, because God's in control of all things. If the people in this world were in control of things, we'd be in some serious trouble, I'm telling you. We'd be in serious trouble. But they're not. That's why I don't worry about anything.